Frogcast. You know what time it is. It's Frogcast time. Thanks, everybody, wherever you are in the world, for joining us. My name is Ben. We got the whole crew plus a special guest in Frog Quarters. Super blogger Vince is here.
Yeah.
NFL Hall of Famer Brendan's here.
Yeah.
Brett is in Vince's computer.
I live there.
He moved in. And then we, returning to Frog Quarters, Connor Pritchard's back.
Second time here. I'm honored. Thank you.
Yeah. How are things?
They're all right. You know, business.
Business. You know, where's all, you just got to make more money. Where's all the money hiding?
Buy, sell, Dow Jones.
Yeah. Blogging.
I think I'm going to get into some of that video game money. It seems to be better now.
Or you just go like Snapchat too.
Yeah. That's what we need.
That's what you need to do.
Just Snapchatting.
Electric snap at you.
We got a bunch of good emails. Vince fell into the Christian dating rabbit hole.
Yes, I certainly did.
And probably some other goodies. Did you want to start off with? I'm even confused.
Sure.
I know who the... I saw the picture of the guy.
Yeah.
He's really scary looking. I don't know why anyone would ever hire him.
Okay, well, first we got a song of the week, though.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
This one's by our boy Ilvis.
I don't think any of us knew that.
Yeah. Ilvis?
This is real time. This is unplanned.
This is breaking.
This is fraught prop.
Sometimes I just, you know, I grip and rip it. I just go with whatever's in front of me, you know?
Did you find this or was this a hot tip from
this
someone?
Was a hot tip from a fan.
Okay.
This is from our buddy Ilvis, the What Does the Fox Say guy. This one's just called Air Horn Classics.
Endelig den her. Kalle Hellevangs Air Horn Classics. Tidløse klassikere I ny drakt. Hør instrumentet med den uforglemmelige klangen I samspill med Norges vakreste stemmer. Helene Bøkslø. Det norske jentekor. Hanne Sørvåg. Ole Edvard Antonsen.
Yeah,
that one Star Wars actually fit with. Like you couldn't tell; it was hard to tell where the air horn started and the trumpet ended.
That's right up Vince's funny bone alley.
Oh yeah, the one joke premise that you just figure out how to use in different ways
over and over and over. How many times have you listened to that song already?
A lot. You mean all of the songs? Well, the compilation of songs. Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah, ten to fifteen.
When I first moved to San Francisco, my roommate and I, this guy Justin, who Connor knows, we all worked together at the same nightclub, bouncing. We would drive around with an air horn, and we would just blow it at people on the sidewalk and watch their reactions, and it was very fun. The best one was a guy chased us down the block, and then we were at the stoplight, and he caught up to us and leaned his head in the car and went, "Ah, you like that?" And then I just looked at him and blew the air horn right in his face. And he jumped back, and then he got hit by a bike.
Showed him.
Yeah.
If you could have planned that,
it was amazing. Yeah.
Like the ultimate Three Stooges sketch.
Right. This is like 2006 probably. So, you know, the video technology on phones wasn't quite there.
Right.
So, yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't get scared when he saw the size of your head.
Maybe that's why. I don't know.
Maybe that was a combination of that and the air horn.
If people don't know, Brendan is like a human mastiff. He's got a really big head.
Yep. Well, being 6'7" and like from an Irish family, it's like you're doomed to just like a life of having a massive head.
Heavy craniums.
Yep.
As
Jonathan Swift.
Mm-hmm, as Jason Dove likes to say, he's into big heads on girls. He reads Sloppy Noggins magazine. He likes his women like Easter Island statues.
We got to get him back on. That guy is a genius.
There's got to be some new conspiracies that have happened.
Oh, there's got to be. So anyway, the reason I fell down the Christian dating rabbit hole was I was on a friend's radio show on Sunday, and he's talking about this story where this guy, Justin I don't know if it's Lucado or it's spelled Lucado, Justin Lucado. I don't know why all weird, like, Christian preacher guys have really weird last names. Like the kid who went to heaven was named Colton Burpo. Todd Burpo and yeah. Colton Burpo.
Vince is like, oh, the name Colton Burpo is hilarious. I'm like, dude, his dad is Todd Burpo. That's like the best name ever.
So this guy Justin Lucado is like some sort of Christian motivational speaker slash dating advice guy, and he got sort of in hot water because people.
But he gets hired by high schools and shit, right?
Well, in Texas.
In Texas.
That's true. They don't allow you to teach evolution there.
You said he's really funny looking, right?
Yeah,
he's a hideous monster.
I'm sort of picturing he looks like someone that Tim Heidecker would dress up as on the Tim and Eric show. With like a Madonna mic.
Yeah, well, a little bit.
So he's got super all spiked out hair.
Oh, yes, I knew it.
He's receding hairline. Mm-hmm. Like a powerful recession.
But and then really spiky bleach white hair.
I was about to say frosted tips.
He's a skinny 6'7" guy that wears like Affliction shirts and has like Guy Fieri hair.
Okay.
He's kind of wall-eyed. Like he looks like he's like a fugu.
Yeah.
A fugu.
It's the like the pufferfish that's poisonous.
Fugu.
So according to local news stations, Richardson's students, the Richardson High School, were understandably outraged by the sexist comments of the speaker and walked out and blah, blah, blah. And so this sort of led me to this guy's website, and he's got all these rules of dating. And he wrote this book, which is just called Dateable. And some of the jacket copy that I got from Amazon. Girls, did you know guys will lie to you to get what they want? If he'll do it for you, he'll do it to you. If he doesn't call, it doesn't mean he hates you. This one's my favorite. A guy will treat you like you are dressed.
Oh, God.
Another good one.
Like, that's a weird sentence.
That is a rapey sentence.
Another good one. You might be talking too much.
Is that for the girl?
Yeah. This is
there is there context to that, or is it just...
It's just, did you know? Did you know this? You might be talking too much.
Hey, fun fact,
you got weird toes. You should get that fixed.
He doesn't want sex with you because he loves you. He wants it because you're a girl and you're willing.
Wow, he really looks like a fugu. I just looked that up, and he is 100% that animal.
Guys love a mystery. There's a guy's did you know. Guys, did you know? If you're too scared to ask her, then you're not man enough to go out with her. Girls will lie to themselves to get what they want. You control how far you go. This one's interesting. Girls have their own kind of porn. And girls don't understand you.
And, and by you, I mean me.
And then he has 20 rules or 10 rules for girls and guys. And do you want which one? Girls or guys? What do you want first? I'm going to go girls because the guys starts to get really weird.
Okay.
So girls, the rules for girls. Accept your girliness. You're a girl. Be proud of all that means. You are soft. You are gentle. You are a woman. Don't try to be a guy. Guys like you because you are different from them. So let your girliness soar. Two, tell it like it is. Dateable girls don't lie to themselves. They don't say stuff like, his girlfriend just isn't good to him. That's why he's seeing me on the side. Or, she started it, so I'm going to get even. The dateable girl lets God run the world and tells herself the truth that she can control as herself. She doesn't imagine things to be more than they are.
She doesn't aspire. She doesn't hope. Tell you one thing she does do. She does shut the fuck up. And she signed the Lord.
And she listens to Space Dad.
You can hear, I got a clip of him talking if you want to hear a little of that.
I don't know if I want to have his voice inside of my face.
I mean, it starts with that.
You know it's going to be real talk now.
Yeah, it's baseline.
Man, everything that we're doing right now is all about this. We, as Christians, we get the wrong answers because we ask the wrong questions. We ask, is it okay? Man, I don't care what the issue is. Is it okay if I go to this party? Is it okay if I date this person? Is it okay if I move to this town? Is it okay if I drink this, smoke this, whatever it is? And nowhere in the Bible does it say, be okay, for I am okay. And you look at the scripture, it says, I'm the God who brought you out of all of that junk, out of captivity. Now be holy, for I am holy. And if you ask that question, it totally changes everything. Man, is it holy to do something versus is it okay? Because there are a lot of things that are okay that aren't holy. And
I'm convinced that any super religious person, to be followed, they just talk really fast. And they say, they know like 20 Bible lines and they mix them in.
Uh-huh. And or just lines that sound biblical, vaguely. It doesn't say, be okay for I am okay. You're like, wait, what?
If you know those 20, you sprinkle them in and talk really fast.
Hey, listen, in the Bible, it doesn't say, verily those nachos shall pass. Yeah. So, therefore.
There's a lot of what the Bible doesn't say because you can really pad it out there. Like, Bible doesn't say nothing about cupcakes. Bible doesn't say nothing about space stations. Bible doesn't say nothing about the French. Just keep going like that for half an hour. You don't actually know a thing about the Bible to fill that entire space.
Anytime I hear these guys, I just think of what they're looking up like late at night. You know, what their internet history is and what these guys' skeletons are.
Yeah, those guys need one of the like rerouting things. The NSA is going to be all over them.
Whenever you start asking that question, your faith is going to totally expand. And that's what the message is. That's
not
what
only
the bracelets were all about. That's what everything is. Is just asking the question, is it how?
Which comes on a bracelet, because obviously.
Which you can buy for $7.99 in my store.
At CrassLovesCapitalism.com. And here's his bio. Justin Lukadu was a juvenile probation officer and is now an author and speaker whose hard-hitting humor and in-your-face message connects with teens.
Wait, stop.
Wait, is that,
stop.
Come on.
Yes. Stop. It doesn't say hard-hitting and in-your-face. Yes,
that's copy stolen from a Mountain Dew commercial.
No. He is the co-author of the best-selling Dateable and The Dateable Rules. He lives in McKinney, Texas.
He is single.
He has never loved.
I copied down some of the blurbs. These are some of them were from the jacket copy and some were actual user reviews. Justin knows what teens are looking for.
He has sought after my marketers.
Your faceness.
Books that speak to the teen in language teens not only understand but use. Born from a turning point in Justin's life, these 97 random thoughts are like MTV on paper.
Oh, God.
Never letting today's fast-thinking teens get bored.
Hey, hold on. Before you go any further, I'm sure he's going to talk about there's a lot of texting and tweeting going on these days.
Now, we know you like the internet.
I'll tell you what that's not in the Bible. Tweeting. It doesn't say, verily I tweet, and until you, I shall be retweeted.
You think Noah took two tweets with him on the ark? That's what I thought. You're all going to die.
With short entries on everything from skydiving and horseback riding to hands-on scientific experiments.
Girls, don't open your legs a horseback ride. You look like a man. No man's going to want to date you, and you're going to be a lesbian.
Look it up. Horses hate skydiving. It's in the Bible.
Justin takes teens for an exciting, wisdom-filled ride to bring them closer to God.
You can't even get through a whole sentence without us laughing.
Brett loves it. Brett loves it. Okay, here's some user reviews. This book was recommended by a fellow mom whose daughter has also taken many of the principles through her high school career and has become a very special young lady that any mom would want their daughter to look up to. Thanks in part to things explained in the book. It puts things in teen speak that makes it easy for kids to relate and apply to their lives.
I want to know what teen speak is.
No, teen speak's all talking about like Law and Order, CSI.
They watch Bones.
What's the average review? Is that, are you on Amazon?
Oh, well, like the newer one had like a lot of one star. This is super sexist. So I had to dig through to find the good ones. Mm. All right, so girls. Number three, the sexiest thing on a girl is happiness. Girls try so hard to add beauty and sexuality to themselves with clothes and makeup, but the truth is it's your spirit that makes you hot.
Girl, your spirit's so hot.
You can't put makeup on your eternal soul.
Four, girls don't fight girls, ever.
What?
Revenge what? Belongs to God.
What? What does that make even... your enemy your footstool?
Dateable girls know that when they fight other girls, they look stupid and catty, and guys don't like it any more than God does.
And that's the important thing to do. The important reason to do anything is whether or not guys will like it.
Does he have two separate line items about fighting?
Is that one rule?
Oddly it's just specific. One rule.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Unless there's mud or oil around, and then you can fight all you want. And God,
it's seriously like he read about being young from some sort of manual translated from another language. Like it's got the little IKEA diagram.
Right, it's got
it
to like babblefish.
It's like television.
Yeah.
They're always wearing T-shirts. Five. Believe in your beauty. girls don't let the enemy steal their beauty.
Is that the devil?
Wait, who's the enemy?
I guess it's the devil.
Oh.
I think he like cuts your shirts low and tries to steal your wholesomeness, steals your pearls and gives you halter tops.
And God then rude slogans on them.
Yes. Pink taco. What is that? Ungodly.
That is not holy.
I don't care if it's a restaurant. Number six, be mysterious. Dateable girls know how to shut up. They don't monopolize the conversation. They don't tell everyone about themselves.
He just went for the throat on that one, didn't he?
They save some for later. They listen more than they gab. Seven, act confident. Dateable girls know confidence is hot.
Eight, you fell down the stairs.
Try not wearing all those high heels like a trollop next time.
Eight, look.
God, can you imagine just the unending echo chamber of loneliness this guy must live in, just constantly not identifying with anything around him at all?
It's a sad, awful place.
Full of hair gel. Smells like hair gel.
It's just stinky tub pink goo.
Smells like ice spiker in there.
There's just raised trucks driving around in there.
Just truck nuts dangling everywhere.
So many donuts raised trucks. In his own shame.
Yeah. Eight, look him in the eye. Part of being a dateable girl means you really see people. They matter, and if you don't look them in the eye, you'll never see them, and they will never know they matter to you. Nine, let him lead. God made guys as leaders. Dateable girls get that and let him do guy things. Get a door. Open a ketchup bottle. They relax.
Take their pants off.
And let guys be guys, which means they don't ask him out. Three exclamation points. 10.
Kids love exclamation points. Helps them identify.
That's right. They're really excitable, these children nowadays, with all the MTV.
You know, at one point during his lecture, I guarantee he says OMG and spells it out like that.
Yeah. For sure.
Oh, and like with his hands. Like he spells it with his hands.
And then waits for rousing applause.
Mm-hmm. Number 10, need him. Dateable girls know that guys need to be needed. A dateable girl isn't Miss Independent. She knows we are made for community.
A dateable girl has her feet bound so she can't run away from you. A dateable girl sleeps in her cage every night.
A dateable girl puts the lotion on her skin. All right, so here's the rules for guys for being dateable. This all comes from areyoudateable.com, like are you and then dateable. I'm surprised.
That's how the teens talk.
Yeah.
It's at least how they text. I know that much.
Yeah. Well, it's because they're saving on the characters because they've been weaned on the Twitter.
Right.
And that has a character limit.
Well, there's a lot of, in today's texting and Twittering world, there's a lot of texting and Twittering going on. You've got to learn how to speak to the teens.
That's right. And you do that through texting and Twittering.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Number one rule of a guy to know if you're dateable or not. To be dateable, rather. One, being a guy is good.
We're all off to a good start here.
Yeah. Guys,
oh, yeah, all right.
And it's just do whatever you're doing because you're doing
high five,
great.
Guys.
Let's hold hands and wear sweaters. Dateable guys know they aren't as sensitive as girls, and that's okay. They know they are stronger, more dangerous, and more adventurous, and that's okay.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
Oh, this guy's awesome.
Is this guy for real? What the fuck? He's just selling himself on him being a guy still. Like, this isn't aimed at anyone but him. He's just so hot. I bet he's got weird junk.
Real guys wear affliction shirts to high schools and speak in multi-purpose rooms.
Number two, believe in yourself. Dateable guys know they are men, even if someone has tried to bring them down or make them less than men.
Like me.
No, like Tyler Perry. I think that's a dig at Tyler Perry.
Oh, right.
Number three, control your mind. Dateable guys know that God demands self-control. They learn ways to control their minds so they can control their bodies.
Don't jerk off. That's the mandatory don't jerk off one. Mm-hmm.
Number four, don't just want to win. Want an adventure. Dateable guys know life is about danger. You might not win, but that's not the point. Doing it is. Dateable guys risk failure to live the adventure of life.
Danger not holy?
Yeah. Hey, but don't go down the dangerous road of jerking off.
Right.
Well, danger is, that's what the enemy does to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number five, face your fears. Guys, dateable guys will not be controlled by fear. Dateable guy stands in the face of it and
says,
are
you dating a lion?
Here we go. Number six, men of God are wild, not domesticated. Data book guys aren't tamed. They don't live by the rules of the opposite sex. They fight battles, conquer lands, and stand up for the oppressed.
This guy must have gotten beaten up so
I know. There's so much conquering lands and standing up for the oppressed in Plano, Texas, in your McMansion.
Also, what part of conquering lands and fighting battles involves standing up for the oppressed?
Right. It's kind of the opposite.
It's like, we just burnt their crops so the other guys couldn't eat it. Right. Number 7, bring God into it. Dateable guys bring God into it. What would he say if he was talking to me through this situation, they ask?
You should take your shirt off.
Did you just hear the voice of God there? Yeah.
I like this shirt. It's got pretty colors.
Number 8, be honest with girls. Dateable guys don't use the truth to their advantage. They know that girls read into things, so they don't use that for their good. They are honest and not manipulative. Number 9.
Wait, that makes it sound like they lie. They don't use the truth to their advantage.
Read that one again.
Dateable guys don't use the truth to their advantage. They know that girls read into things, so they don't use that for their good.
So they don't use the truth?
What the fuck kind of sentence is that?
I still didn't even get that.
I don't know.
I don't think you're supposed to use the truth.
I mean, I feel like this guy was probably in the 98th percentile in word salad, and like that sort of thrust him into a career as a preacher / dating coach. Like, I mean, that's like the number one. To be any sort of guru, it's like you have to have the powers of just like word soup, where you just create a confusing sentence that people are like, Okay. Like kind of like a horoscope. Like, that could kind of be me like every 3 Sundays. I don't. Okay. Number 9, be a gentleman. Which seems weird in contrast with be wild and undomesticated.
And conquer new lands.
Yeah. Chivalry is not dead with the dateable guy. Even if society thinks this is old fashioned, he knows that it is God fashioned.
Is there a trademark next to that? That's awesome.
Oh, give me a wristband. I want to pay $3 for a wristband for that.
I would wear a God fashioned wristband.
Oh, I mean, it'd probably be too big for you. It'd probably burn your Jew wrist.
too soon.
I would burn your hand off so it couldn't covet anymore. Like, no! You'd just be like Luke.
It would melt. It would melt to my wrist.
Number 10, keep it covered up.
Is that condom related?
It's your penis.
Dateable guys know that porn is bad for the spirit and the mind. They keep women covered up. What? With burkas and shit.
And then you burn them with acid if they don't.
Yeah. So that's how you know if you're a dateable guy or a girl.
Oh. So did you take those to heart, Vince?
I did. Well,
you've been dating a little bit, so is that helping you?
No, I try to. I sort of do the opposite of the keep it covered up, which is I just sort of hang dong as much as possible.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, if you're out front with your sexuality, they girls respect that.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm wild and untamed, and sometimes I don't wear pants.
But you're also a gentleman.
Well, I don't force it on him. I just say...
Yeah. You're just a gentleman that hangs brand.
Excuse me.
Vince has a very questioning look while he's hanging dong. Like, I don't know. Maybe.
You tell me.
The rule number 11. Sometimes you can say things without words. You hang some dong and you go, huh?
You shrug a bunch of times.
Huh?
So what was the big... I mean, what was the big controversy? He got hired at some school that wasn't happy with...
Well, I mean, he told the girls to shut up and to that guys are natural leaders, and some people didn't like that.
But that wasn't the first time he's gone and spoken somewhere.
Yeah.
It was just...
You know, it's these girls, they got the Jezebel, and then they get all these big words in their skulls, and they think they could make talk.
So... But they're so wrong, though. Yeah.
This guy is like a Christian Tucker Max.
You gotta see what he looks like. His hair, it's like Guy Fieri hair, but even more individually spiked. It's pretty aggressive. He does not look like a Christian preacher guy.
Click on that link.
What? Oh, what?
So is that the rabbit hole you fell down, Vince? Was just more reading all about him and his reviews and... He's showing everyone what he looks like.
Did you just do that while we were on?
No, it was already an image search. He'll put that up on the thing or whatever.
I just heard about this guy through this story, and then I was started reading a lot of his Amazon reviews.
Have you tried to engage him with a fake email address?
No, not yet. Fun. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he'd school me in the ways of the fake fake scriptures.
He knows how teens talk, so you'd be lost.
Yeah. There'd be a lot of snaps. Some more Amazon reviews. For example, building self-esteem is tackled with entries like Hot or Not, a unique opener for dealing with the problems of comparing ourselves to others. And when has a Christian devotional ever held up the muskox as a spiritual role model for guys?
When has one not?
When indeed. When indeed. Okay, so say you have a 10-year-old who thinks she is 14, and you have friends who have a 14-year-old who thinks any book on faith and morals must be boring. Oh, you could change their mind with this book. My 10-year-old begs me to read chapters to her in the car with her friends there. Why? Because Justin Lookadoo is funny, hip, cool, happening, whatever your teenager says. I bought this book because I had met Justin Lookadoo at a bookseller's convention. He's hard to miss.
He's funny, or whatever your teen calls it these days.
6'7" tall, not wide, and greatly weird looking. I thought anyone who looks like that...
greatly weird looking. Uh-huh.
I thought anyone who looks like that and loves God gets my attention. Then I saw his pic on the cover of this book in our church bookstore, and flipping through the book, I saw how cool it looked, not at all like a traditional devotional book. And I was sold.
The words are all upside down, and most of them aren't even words.
One time he used an upside down exclamation point. And I was sold. I read 3 chapters to my family in the car on the way home. Read 2 more chapters to my friend the next day, who's going to buy this book for her high school Bible study.
Who is this horrible woman who's just reading chapters of books at a time? Entire chapters of books to acquaintances. This is awful.
I predict this book will sell millions, and I plan on buying a great number for myself and friends. It's just the coolest book I've ever read for a devotional for teenagers.
Is that
who wish they were teenagers.
Is that review by a D. Lookadoo?
You actually have to, on Amazon, you have to buy the book to write the review.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can't just throw up a 1-star review. So it's all of these people that have written reviews have purchased the book. It has to be verified.
Huh. Well,
so he's courting controversy, yeah. Selling books.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
You look weird and talk really? About God.
So, yes, ask the question, is it holy?
Oh, he's got a hat on.
Yeah. With the bass line, you know he's for real.
Yeah.
Oh, now he's hitting us with the dubstep.
Well, children, I mean, teens these days, they need to understand the beat first. Mm-hmm. That's how they relate to each other.
With dubstepping?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, well, I feel better about dating now.
You guys feel like you got a lot out of that?
Can we hire him?
Mm-hmm.
I want to hire him to my high school. Go back in time.
I wonder what the oversight process is on. Like, Connor, do you think you could do – maybe you could parlay your book into some speaking engagements at assemblies?
Know, I actually wrote a Glenn Beck book. Did I tell you guys about that last time?
No. So, Connor, what have you been up to? You were on a while ago. And so what have you been doing? What are you working on these days?
Working on my book series. It's called The Order of the Magi. It's all about the history of playing cards. It's kind of like Dan Brown meets Indiana Jones with a sense of humor. Book 2 is being edited right now. But I did this treasure hunt where this kid from Romania designed the cards. A guy here at Scintillant Studios in San Francisco turned them into bronze. And then I hit them all around the Bay Area.
You talk a little closer to that. There you go.
Yeah,
mic's not very good.
So I made these bronze cards and then hit them all over the Bay Area, about a 3.5-hour radius, and then basically put up the clues on Reddit, and it exploded. And people were out. All of the cards were found in 30 hours. It was pretty crazy.
What did you expect? How long did you expect it to take?
I was expecting like a few days at least, but they were as far as like the Esalen Institute in Big Sur and then, you know, a few hours north of here. But people were really into it. And I was giving away $5,000. So that's kind of why they're into it.
People love money.
And then there was 2 guys that came up from L.A.
Yes.
And they ended up winning, right?
Yeah. So Vince came to my party last week in at the Falkirk Mansion. And we basically laid the cards down on the table, turned them over one by one, put on some Final Countdown Queen type music. And is that a condom? No, I thought that was a condom on the floor.
It's a rubber band, for the record.
And then these 2 guys from LA that came up and competed, they ended up winning. So I wrote them the check on the spot, and it was a very fun night. Kind of, you got to think outside the box when you're promoting books now and doing it on your own. So
that's awesome. So book 1 is out.
Book 1's out. Yep. and it's illustrated, and the artwork's very cool, and book two is almost finished.
Now, I noticed you have a co-author who's also named Connor.
Yes, he's the illustrator.
Okay, did the fact that he's also named Connor ever, I mean, was that ever like a sticking point in you choosing him as a...
he's awesome. We went to high school together, but we're writing this next book together, and I think we're just going to do one pen name with with one Connor.
Mm-hmm. Just Connor?
Yeah, just
the Connors.
Yeah, the Connors. But yeah, everything else is good. I'm moving back down to LA to go pitch a show I made with Allison Stevenson. I think she's been on here before.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Very, very funny woman.
Yeah, we wrote an animated show together that's very funny. It's called Laser Susan, and it's about the youngest daughter in a family of superheroes, and she has laser vision, but she only wants to use it to light joints and coffees at work. Heat up lattes.
That sounds like Allison.
The artwork's all done, and it actually looks exactly like her too. So.
So, yeah. And you're familiar with some of the pitch stuff since you did you do that with Workaholics or other shows?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've kind of been up here in San Francisco writing books, but I got to go back down and get up in the mix and try to make.
So moving back. Back to the belly of the beast, yes. Down there.
Stronger, wiser, smarter this time around.
Or so you say until you get down there.
Yeah, exactly.
What did you learn? What is the main lessons that you've learned since the last time?
Since being away from Los Angeles.
Get better Steins and Bergs in your corner. Does that make sense?
Steins Bergowitz Green Box? Yeah. One of my favorite things, Windy City Heat had its like 10-year anniversary. And so Grantland had an article about it. And Cousin Sal in it is the lawyer. And his name is Saul Steinbergowitz Greenbaum, which I always liked.
The town is run by middlemen, and when there's money at stake, it's Game of Thrones. So you got to have really good people in your corner.
There's always money at stake. Usually.
Kind of. Sometimes. But, yeah. And then I'm also doing other stuff, too. Like, I just got pitched this idea. I hope these people don't listen to it, but it was the worst idea ever. It was Sopranos in the porn world. And you see,
Sopranos.
Yeah, the Sopranos.
I think
exactly.
Is an actual. I'm pretty sure there's an actual porno called.
There probably is.
I pretty much guarantee it.
Yeah.
So you got to work on your own stuff, but then when you go in to meet with the big companies, they pitch you those shitty ideas that you try to make better for them, and pay you nothing.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you have a bad jumping off point. I mean, I don't know what you can really add to a bad idea to make it not a bad idea.
You have to turn it into something completely different.
Yeah.
And then special effects.
Yeah. How much CGI budget do you have? Sopranos. All right. Yep. A lot of CGI.
Right.
But, yep, moving back down. I'm sure I'll be sick of it after two drives on the 405. But
do you feel like the creator credit on Workaholics gives you some clout?
Yeah, I mean... For
those of you who didn't listen when Connor was on last time, co-creator Workaholics.
Yeah, I mean you're in the game now, and people will take a meeting, but my partner and I are still very low on the totem pole. You know, no one's approaching us with projects really, so you kind of have to
except for the Sopranos.
Yeah, except for that one. But
let's just not rule it out, okay?
Yeah, yeah, that might be my next project, but. Yeah, I mean, I gotta move up a few levels on the food chain before I get bigger and richer. It's not gonna happen, probably.
Well, gotta keep trying. And then, so when's book two? When is that supposed to come out?
Well, books take forever, and they're illustrated, so the artwork takes forever too. So,
Connor two, yeah. What's Connor two doing?
Connor, he does all of my stuff. He does my TV show proposals. He does everything. So.
He's I know another guy who likes to draw. That if you ever need like an extra artist.
Is he in his room?
No, he's in the computer.
He's in this computer.
Yeah.
Oh, got it. Well, that's how networking's done. Send me my email.
Brett.
What?
You can draw things besides squirrels, right?
I don't even know how to answer that.
Because it's sort of a no. It's kind of no.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, technically he could, but it's really squirrel related exclusively.
Well, he makes everything into squirrels. It's sort of like the old Matt Groening cartoons where everybody was a rabbit, but they're kind of like human rabbits. Brett kind of does that with squirrels.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, we should team up, and then our work can just live off of on development people's shelves in a graveyard of other shitty projects.
Adam Carolla always had a good idea about how they should just have one channel that just plays pilots that never got picked up. I feel like I would watch that.
So actually, it's funny you brought that up. I was on Reddit, and my friend and I did this contest on Twitter where we just posted bad TV shows every day. And we did it for about 3 months. But I was on Reddit looking for ideas, and this kid from Canada, who's like 26, he's this drunk kid. He came up with this idea called Pilots, and I loved it. So basically, every episode, you have a sketch comedy group. Every episode is just a new pilot, a new shitty pilot, and you kind of just rotate. And people like made fun of it, but I think it's actually genius if you get the right people together.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that Twitter account that's just called Unfinished Scripts, where they just post like, no. like one page of a I got to find some, because they're like they're brilliant.
That would be good. I think it would be really hard. You definitely need the right people. You would need a very good ensemble with some range.
Well, I tried to partner up with the Good Neighbor guys a while ago, who are both – two of them are now on Saturday Night Live, Kyle and Beck. Beck's the guy from the phone commercial. Hmm. The two new additions from Saturday Night Live. But we had met a few times, and if I had had this idea a while ago, they would have been perfect for it. But, yeah, they've all moved on to bigger and better things now.
7 more years of SNL.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're in entertainment, don't ever read the trades, because you'll just hate yourself.
Yeah. The what was I reading the other day? Who was it that got? God damn it! I don't know. It was some ridiculous book deal. It wasn't Rebecca Martinson, but it was someone else. That's the cunt punt girl.
But she did get a book deal.
But it was something
deal.
I mean. There's been a lot worse. Like that letter, it's still one of my favorite things ever.
Yeah, but having read the stuff that she's written after that, it's like she managed to make an article about giving a double BJ boring.
But book deals are like rap advances. Like you get $600,000 and then you have to make that back before you. Yeah, I mean they're kind of.
Oh, it was for the Ilvis guys. What does the fox? They are doing a children's book called What Does the Fox Say?
That could be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, children's book, what does it take, really?
Yeah.
But she sucked two dicks at the same time?
Yeah. She and her friend sucked one dick. She shared a dick. She sucked half a dick.
Which half?
She did like a triple dick kiss or a double dick kiss.
The logistics of that seem difficult. Is that, no wonder did she write like a manual?
She just wrote about how like she convinced, like she bribed a friend to like help her suck her boyfriend's dick at the time, and he couldn't get it up, and that was the end of the story.
Very short story.
Yeah, it wasn't very climactic.
Oh,
hey, oh.
It's just crazy how quickly these people can get deals too, and then someone who's in the game for 10 years can get nothing. Like the little Terrio kid is everywhere now. He's gonna.
Which
have
one's that?
The
ooh, kill him.
Yeah, ooh, kill him.
What's that?
He has. Yeah,
it's kind of hard to describe.
He doesn't really do anything. He does a silly little dance.
He's like a 7-year-old fat kid who can dance.
What is this from?
It started on Vine with his cousin, and he did one dance, and now he's got his own seats at the Heat game.
Kill him, and he's like this fat kid. Like,
well, I mean, if it's anything like that, I think it's well deserved.
The dance is pretty good.
It is.
We only need a video pod just for Brendan, because like half of the things that he contributes are visual.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we need like a Vine channel for Brendan.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should do like a Vine of the Week, a Brendan Vine of the Week.
Ooh, kill him.
Well, now all the NFL guys are doing the dance too. Yeah. There's like 10 of them that have done the dance. Yeah.
For touchdown celebrations. Yeah.
So our buddy Peter Dante was back in the news today. I don't know if you guys saw this.
Great. Who's Peter Dante? I didn't get a chance.
Adam Sandler's buddy. I could play the Lax Bro video.
He was the anti-Lax Bro guy.
Right.
Drawn a blank.
Isn't that the guy from the Adam Sandler movies?
That's the one. The really tan one.
Yeah.
Oh,
Grandma's boy.
Yeah.
There was a great the video that you embedded. There was like a great, very like unhinged actor who just dropped a bunch of racial slurs. Like that face, you know. He's like kind of unshaven. He looks sort of like disheveled and like, I don't know what I did.
I keep clicking skip ad and it keeps taking me to the ad.
Welcome to the internet, man. Jesus. That's how you get paid, Vince.
Jesus.
Isn't that your own site, though? Aren't you getting paid right now?
That's not my video. Oh.
You just paid yourself.
There we go.
Cha-ching, cha-ching.
Nice work, man.
Grand steps forward over the last decade.
Unfortunately, from our point of view,
many of those steps were in a corporately determined, tainted and misguided direction.
That's his lack.
It's time to write
you remember
the
lack
of utilizing
video,
the power
Ben?
And influence
no.
to score properly.
Veer sharply off the established path
and step proudly towards a higher goal.
Adrenaline awareness is our correction.
Our different path.
And you can share the vision with us.
So we challenge you.
Don't beat a bro.
Be aware.
It's really exciting to see what's been happening recently because although
we
managed to do a lot of...
It's not actually about... I would play more of it, but it's really not like about anything. They just
It's sort of lax promotion, right?
They're raising awareness for something. It's pretty unclear what.
Not being a lax bro.
Yeah.
Wait, so scroll back down. So that look at that face. Like, he just looks very much like, I didn't do anything wrong.
So I'll read the story for you. A staffer who happened to be black tried to help Dante, but the actor exploded, telling one of his friends, you better tell this nigga to give me my fucking room key before I fuck him up. He clearly doesn't know who the fuck I am. Dante continued to berate the staffer. Nigga, do you... Oh, staffer. Sorry. He trapped me in
the... You dropped the ER on
yeah.
the wrong word.
I know. Nigga, do you know who I am? I'm a black belt and you're a black person. I will fuck you up.
Wow.
He directed his... He also directed...
I'm a black belt and you're a black person. That is a brilliant line
yeah.
right there.
What is he a black belt in? He doesn't even say.
Not, no. Certainly not race relations.
Yeah. He also directed his venom toward a Latino parking valet. Hey, Mexican, this is Santa Monica. Do you know where you are? We don't need you. That's when Dante upped his threats by dropping some famous names. The report states, quote, Dante threatened to have Suge Knight, Busta Rhymes, and Adam Sandler come to my house and fuck me up.
All right. Suge Knight, legit
terrifying.
That is
terrifying. An eclectic band of
yeah.
violence.
I was going to say
this.
I'd be scared of Suge, but yeah, I mean, Busta and Adam Sandler, I wouldn't be too worried about. I think I could hold my own.
Well, I think that's why you'd be scared, though, is because Suge is with them.
Right. Busta would just rap really fast, and yeah. Adam Sandler would talk in a baby voice, and Suge would just stomp you out.
So this is all according to a bellboy at the JW Marriott in Santa Monica, and then... TMZ.
By the way, I love saying, like, he's in L.A., like, asking the Mexican guy if he knows where he is. He's like, yeah, I'm in L.A. There's, like, 8 million of yeah. us here.
I'm in this place that used to be my country.
Right.
all right, so here's TMZ caught up to him, like, on the street somewhere where he's disheveled looking and wearing a hoodie over no shirt, it looks like.
Has he not been in enough Adam Sandler movies recently?
What's up, baby?
I'm good, baby.
Brother, we have to ask you. Last Thursday, you got kicked out of Santa Monica Hotel. Do you remember what happened?
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, purple is the color that I see in life.
Okay.
Because no one can ever deem me as a racist human being. Ask who I grew up with. Ask my friends. Ask my family. Ask everybody.
Where'd you grow up at?
Hartford, Connecticut.
Okay, I'm from St. Louis. I don't know everything. I just know what you've done as an entertainer.
I did a thing with Nelly when his sister died of leukemia.
Yeah. Bone marrow. Yup. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I was there for a premiere.
Bone marrow, not leukemia.
Called The Longest Yard for Nelly because he's one of my homeboys. T.I. is one of my homeboys. Yo, do me a favor. Don't you ever pinpoint a color on me, man. You understand me?
I heard that.
Any of you mother. Don't you pinpoint a
final countdown.
You hear me?
So, were you leaving a party? Is that what happened? Or
no, it's my hotel room, homeboy.
Okay.
I was asking for my room key, man.
Uh-huh. And they didn't want to give you your key back?
This or? Uncle Tom.
I know what that means.
Whoa. I just called the kid.
Wow.
I called him a certain term.
Wow.
That would mean my friend.
Mom. Yeah.
Wow.
There you
have
it. He's sounding a little slurry. Like, I think he's either drunk or he's got a painkiller.
Yeah, he's on a bender.
So he's saying he dropped the A. He was NIA. GG.
Oh, I guess that's in the press now, right? What am I, Paula Deen, though? Homeboy?
Paula Deen.
No, I ain't.
I know.
I'm Pete Dante. Ask Marcus Camby about me.
Okay. Ask Marcus about you.
Yeah.
He's like the most random set of name drops ever.
By the way, will you hit pause? He's like, he's so fucking racist. Well, he's so like, I don't think he's like actively racist. Like, we've talked about this before. Like, whether you're just like ignorant or like, I don't think he's like actively trying to disenfranchise people, but he's clearly like an asshole, right? But he's so far removed from any sense of reality that he's like, he's talking down so much. Like, yeah, what's up, homeboy?
Yeah.
Like, that kind
of
shit.
Yeah, he dropped a lot of homeboys.
He dropped a lot of homeboys, and he's also just like assuming that the black guy knows Marcus Camby.
Hey, you know Marcus Camby.
You all know each other, right?
Well, because that's the thing. It's like, I feel like...
You all go to church together and then the barbecue, right?
Some of these people, I feel bad for them because it's clearly like they're just... like, we're smart enough not to say dumb shit like calling the black guy homeboy. And that's not necessarily, like, I don't think that's necessarily being a better person. That's just, like, you're smart enough to know not to say dumb shit that sounds awful.
There's some self-awareness there.
Yeah, it's more self-awareness than...
What is it? Well, Connor, you're the man on the inside. What is it about L.A. that just strips away any self-awareness?
It's true. I mean, it's an absolute bubble. You get so involved in that world that you don't even think anything else is outside of it.
But all you think about is Marcus Camby and Nelly's leukemia benefit.
But, I mean, this guy's he's a celebrity, and he doesn't have anyone around him telling him no. Or, you know, there's no one questioning him. So I think he just started to lose a grip on reality.
He thought all the
What's weird is I have absolutely no idea who this guy is.
Yet you do, though. He's been in
in The Waterboy.
Yeah.
He's been in a bunch of Adam Sandler movies.
He's in Grandma's Boy. He's the guy that's always smoking weed with a monkey.
Nah, I don't.
Didn't he grow up with or go to college with Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
They're like old school buddies.
Well, everybody that's a Happy Madison
guy.
He was
the caddy in Happy Gilmore. He was the bum looking caddy. That's actually him.
Oh, was it really?
No, that's
he's super famous.
Other one?
I don't know why every busboy in LA doesn't know who he is.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Whatever. It's one of them. One of the Grandma's Boys dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This guy seems like a sack of shit.
He looks like he's been drinking in Key West for about a decade.
He's got that thing going on where his hair is like still all brown, but then he's got stubble, and the stubble is like pure gray, which is weird. Like maybe he's just dyeing his hair or something. But it is weird when guys only go gray in their facial hair.
Yeah.
Like the UN ambassador guy who had just like the white mustache.
Yeah.
I got that in my future. My dad went gray in his eyebrows first.
Nice.
The Mexican valet. You told him that we don't need you here.
The Mexican valet is a part of my family.
Okay, so yeah. And they said you trying to fight the overnight guy?
Fight? The kid came.
Trying to fight.
I was trying to get my room key.
Okay.
Homeboy came out from the counter when I'm trying to get my room key and go chill.
Uh-huh.
The way I am.
Right.
And he came out and was like, let's go, let's do this, I'm all.
So he tried to fight up. Off jump.
I don't do that, man.
Right.
I'm a. You know, I have a lot of common courtesy, homie.
Yeah, you seem peace. That's why I'm giving you a respect.
Yeah, I'm sure the bellman working minimum wage at the fucking Marriott in Santa Monica is like, oh, this is my chance to fight a celebrity. He's just like, please let this be over. My shit's over.
This guy is not a celebrity. Do not give him that credit.
So there's no video of it, but the fact that the kid remembered those lines makes me think it happens. Because those lines are so – they feel like they're scripted. And he wouldn't have been able to make that up, right?
Yeah, and he is acknowledging that there's an incident. And I doubt the guy giving him his room key is just starting shit with him because he's like, hey, fuck you, Grandma's Boy.
Yeah, and that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
That
say something racist, you dealist piece of shit.
Don't you think, though, if you were a celebrity, just with my drinking habits, something – I'm not saying something racist, but I would have some type of incident.
Oh, yeah.
If someone was following me around.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm sure I'd say some stupid stuff if there was cameras, especially these idiot – like these TMZ interviewers are the worst.
Well, I'll give a little bit of credit to like Alec Baldwin where he just – I mean they're constantly just shoving the camera in his face like trying to piss him off to like goad him into saying something, and then he like calls someone a cocksucker and they're like, see, another gay slur, and you're like, not really.
But that thing's so greasy. Like,
yeah.
I can't imagine being a celebrity. I mean,
you can't feel bad for a TMZ cameraman like ever. Like,
no.
If a celebrity pushed him into traffic, I think people would probably clap.
Yeah. I mean, we make a lot of fun of celebrities on this this here Frotcast. But, I mean, can you imagine getting followed around and your picture taken and shit?
All the time, too.
Oh, my
Everywhere
God.
Everywhere you go. That's what,
I mean, if a paparazzi died, I would probably laugh. Like, I'm comfortable saying that. If a paparazzi photographer got hit by a car, I would not prevent and probably rejoice in their being hit by a car.
I used to live right on Hollywood and Vine, and they're the ugliest people I have ever seen. They're just like little roaming packs of hyenas. They're disgusting. They're just disgusting-looking humans. You feel bad for celebrities when you see a pack of them.
Even just at a premiere where they're doing like the gauntlet and they're in like the photo call and then all the photographers are like Beverly, 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 turn around. What are you? Hey. And they're just like shouting the same things over and over to get them to like look in the direction of their camera to get a good picture. And you're like, Jesus Christ, is this person doing that all night to every person that comes out?
And with all that said, though, I've never and can't envision a situation where I'm trying to fight someone.
Has anyone ever studied like the economics of it? Like actually how much you get paid? I mean, because there's enough of them out there.
For the paparazzi?
Yeah. Like how much money are they making?
We've studied the economics of getting sued by the photo agencies if you accidentally use one of their pictures without permission.
Oh, wow.
Is that still going on? I know
can you comment?
I mean, I don't even know the details, but I know that it's similar to copyright trolling now where like there's certain agencies that just have people that are like Google image searching like any of their pictures and like trying – even if somebody used it like some obscure – and it used to be like, you know, if you used a picture that someone didn't want to use, they emailed you and was like, hey, like don't use this or change the attribution or whatever, and you did and it was fine. And then at a certain point, someone figured out, like, hey, if we just, like, threaten $1 million lawsuit,
they'll give us,
like, a couple grand for our dumb picture.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
Very litigious.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Good times. So.
Yeah, I don't know the paparazzi pay scale, but it must be, it's clearly worth something. Otherwise, there wouldn't be a bunch of them roaming around.
Like I went to the premiere of the Inglourious Basterds, and watching Brad Pitt leave that place, it was a spy operation. Someone covered his head up, and they came out, and then there was a decoy with another car, and then he got in the back of another car and laid down, and then, like, veered left. It was – I can't imagine going to do errands like that, and everything's a spy operation.
I'd have so many lookalikes. That'd be the best.
To be fair, you don't have to do errands, probably.
But once again, celebrities are just like us, though.
But once again, how encapsulated the bubble do you get when you can't just go down to CVS to pick up, you know, some Advil?
Yeah.
That's when you send your lookalike.
That's when you hang out with your goddesses.
Yeah.
You do some crack.
You adopt, good in the past.
Adopt a bunch of brown
like
children.
We're in a position now to really make some waves and cause some wholesale
Peter Dante
changes
part.
With the way and direction that sport and lacrosse are going. One of our calls that we're urging is basically don't be a bro. Be aware and activate. Make an impact. Create some movement out there in a positive way.
Someone's got to do a matchup with this and homeboy.
Oh,
I was at Nelly's wedding.
Simply having an impact. So when we assemble the biggest influences of our brand at a meeting. And
yeah, the Dante thing could almost use a flash animation with all the people he references and video overlaid.
Oh, yeah.
Or one of the Asian animation remakes of the whole
fight.
Oh,
those are the best.
The old the Shorties Watching Shorties thing.
Yeah, exactly. I love that show. Yeah.
I really like the Asian CGI recreations. That stuff's genius.
Here's some more Peter Dante.
And it starts in here for all of you guys. Okay, how important thing in my life. This is the key. This is the instrument. This is my paintbrush. You guys have an opportunity. And it starts...
He's pointing at his lacrosse spoon.
God, she's such a bag of shit.
In here.
Is this like a parody? I don't know.
Okay, have pride in number one, being a lacrosse player. Number two, pride in where you come from. And like I said, that you're part of a movement.
Chance to have Peter Dante as our awareness guru and using his influence to strive towards real change is unparalleled type of resource for this movement.
We are a brotherhood. We are a family. We do not like the term lacrosse bro. Lacrosse bro is a kid who's not respectful, a kid who's mouthy, a kid who doesn't listen, a kid who's an individual. We are part of that fraternal order because we are a team. We are a family. If we don't volunteer somewhere, do something good for someone else, shouldn't be a lacrosse player, because being a lacrosse player is being a complete person. Because as you grow and as you commit yourself to this game, this sport, this tradition, this family, you have to commit yourself to everything else in your life the same way.
I always like when people put whatever they're doing on some gigantic pedestal.
Oh, yeah.
Rock climbing. When you rock climb, you're
joining
a higher...
It's not just about climbing rocks.
You're joining a higher order.
That is literally my least favorite sport, though. Lacrosse.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's a good microcosm, right? It's got a very inflated sense of itself.
I played rugby. I hate lacrosse players. It just reminds me of Abercrombie and Fitch kids.
Well, it's sort of like it's like an elaborate dance, right? They like wear helmets and face masks and shoulder pads to like convince themselves that like what they're doing is like tough.
Tough.
But all they do is
not a lot of tackling.
They swing the sticks at each other and go like,
Well, it's the perfect it's the perfect white dude sport.
Yeah,
it's funny because that.
Oh, how about I give you some titanium across your face?
The whole that whole story in the lacrosse video dovetails nicely with the comment someone left on today's post about Peter Dante, about his encounter with Peter Dante. So they just basically stumbled across one of his lacrosse practices. I guess I can't fault him for wanting to make sure we weren't creeps on the prowl. He asked us how we're doing. Scratch that. How we doing? Once he was sure we were kosher, he then burst out with his 20-minute-long monologue about how lacrosse is a wonderful sport with a proud history of ancient tradition and good for the community, and it's all I can do to not start laughing. He was really into it, like a middle-aged ex-jock reliving his glory days. You could almost hear the theme song from Rocky playing in his mental background as he endlessly extolled the virtues of what is literally the whitest sport as I can think of, and I grew up in England.
Did he play lacrosse at some point? Is that his?
Yeah. Well,
clearly.
Yeah. That's his thing.
All right.
Yeah.
He's raising awareness.
Well, yeah, like lacrosse and racism. two things.
True. I like the raising. I like raising awareness for anything, but especially for not being a lax bro.
Like, well, play a bro is aware.
No, don't be a bro.
Mm.
You're a lax dude, I guess.
I mean, a bro is not aware.
You're lax.
We don't wanna, yeah.
I just like that there was enough of them that it became a thing that had to be addressed.
That's yeah. Hilarious. Yeah, there's too many lax. This lax bro thing is getting out of control.
The Peter Dante Anti-Lax Bro Foundation.
Giving away one scholarship a year to the dude who's the least
broiest bro who plays lacrosse. Yeah.
No lettuce. It's a lacrosse stick. It's not a spoon.
Is that, you're not supposed to call it a spoon?
Well, that's a really lax bro-y thing, is to call it a spoon. And then grow out your lettuce.
What's that?
That's long your hair. Remember we talked about, like, there was like a lax bro glossary that we read on the Frogcast a while back. And it was talking
probably,
about you know, like,
probably drunk
having like the long, shaggy Bieber hair. Mm. It's like lettuce.
Interesting.
Do you think camp like Happy Madison has to, do you think he has to like discipline them when they do stuff like this? Like Adam Sandler has to talk to these?
I don't think so. Yeah, like the other guy, the older guy writes like right wing children's books. There's a lot of weird.
Really?
Yeah, there's a lot of weird levels to the whole Happy Madison crew.
Yeah.
Adam Sandler makes him watch Little Nicky. That's funny.
They were all in that too.
Talking a baby voice.
Man, that movie was very unfunny.
I feel like there's been way worse than Little Nicky, though.
From Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
Well, since then, he's really devolved in his movie making.
I have to say, Grandma's Boy was not as bad as I thought. I thought it was going to be horrible. That one's actually not bad.
I liked it.
As much as I love Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore, I still think Adam Sandler's finest work is those two audio CDs. They're all going to laugh at you and what the hell happened to me.
No, that changed my life.
I mean, those are brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are fucking brilliant. And I still laugh, like, thinking about him today.
Your button hooked me.
Yeah, the goat. You're going to the Ragu Festival?
It's just so stupid on every level, and it's hilarious. I don't know why.
He's like, Roger Staubach over here.
Yeah, put up your dukes. I got no dukes.
Fucking, I got no dukes. It's like 1920s boxing. It's so good.
Yeah, this fucking goat's a loser.
I think everyone our age could probably recite that.
Well, it's also, I feel like it's such a foreign thing, too, because I know people have stand-up CDs, but that was such a unique thing.
Somebody needs to do another comedy CD like that.
But it was so random, yeah. I mean, a talking goat and...
The Longest Pee.
Oh, man! Oh, no!
There's basically been, like, Cheech and Chong and then, like, that Adam Sandler CD and then, like, no one else
has
really done.
I think the only people that could do it now is Key and Peele. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean... That level of humor, I think they're pretty good right now. Mm-hmm. But I can't think of anyone else that could do it.
They need an editor. I feel like their show structure, like, I don't need the interstitial bits where they explain the sketch and then do the sketch.
Cheesy.
You're like, just cut it. Why? Yeah.
But when they do it well, I mean...
No, that's what I mean. Like,
the
Liam Neeson
sketch is still... I love the Liam Neeson sketch. It's so good.
No, when they're hitting, they're hitting it hard and far. They just need, like, a couple little cuts here and there.
Now, Apatow's doing their next movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another guy who needs a little, just like that much, that much of editing. So we got another white boy rapper, Child of Celebrities.
Oh yeah.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah.
This is Gabe Day.
Who's his father?
Think about it, Day.
Daniel
Day Lewis.
Yeah.
Wow. Why wouldn't he use the hyphenated?
He
should be like something.
According to one of his rhymes, he butchers rhymes like "call me Gabe Day" and not Gabe Day Lewis. Because if you're trying to call me out, I'm about to Gabe Day lose it.
Why didn't he say something about Bill the Butcher?
I don't don't know.
How does he stack up against Chet Hanks, no. right?
Was Chet that Hayes.
Name? Chet Hayes.
Chet Hayes.
Yeah.
Well, let's hear. You want to hear?
Yeah.
Let's
find out.
It's got titles. This is called Green Auras. Unlike hey, Peter Dante's Purple Aura.
Yeah, you know what it is. You know what it is. Bipolar stoop kid taking care of biz. Hear the music flow, now let it take you away. And so it's been a hot minute since I've been in the game. But now that I'm back, full blast, shit's about to change. Had a cloud around my head, your shit was full of pain. And now I'm starting to see clearer, cause my thoughts have turned to rain. I must have made a wrong turn, I've been done lost. Trying to find my way back to the top at all costs. Looking up to my idols, J. Cole and Nas. Cause guidance through the music is really all that I got. My mind right sober while my body's on a turn up. Only time I get distracted.
That's an African necklace, by the way.
There's a lot of sax in this.
Mm.
A little too much sax for my rap.
It's a mystical-esque amount of sax.
Yeah. It's when watching my split burn up. I'm staying true to what I do. You staying true to what I do? Because all of what I do is what is true. See, I've been kicking it on campus. SLC. Yeah, you know what it is. Straight out of NYC. Chilling.
Is that St. Louis College?
Sarah Lawrence College.
Oh, what?
Street cred out the window.
Oh, that's right. St. Louis is St. Louis University.
Yeah.
Sarah Lawrence College.
Is there a less street cred producing school? Maybe like Smith? No, that's all women's.
All of NWA went there, though.
I
always thought Eazy went to Wesleyan.
Oh, no. That's a big, big mistake that a lot of people make.
What's the school that Bret Easton Ellis based Rules of Attraction on? Was it Middlebury or was it Bennington?
I thought it was Middlebury.
It might be Middlebury.
Yeah.
Middlebury. That's pretty lacking street cred.
Fairly the same.
All those NESCAC schools. You got like Bowdoin, Colby, Bates, Williams.
Yeah. Bard.
Hobart.
Yeah.
Man, that dude's hard.
Haters trying to blow me up because I like to keep it calm, yeah. Started off.
What exactly does being a stoop kid entail? Does that just mean like having a really cush place in Manhattan?
Yeah, hanging out on the stoop of your dad's $20 million brownstone in the West Village.
Well, I love how they all address their mental issues now. Since who was it before, like Kid Cudi? Now, it's like cool to be bipolar or have mental depression.
Well, that's the only thing you can claim. Yeah, mental. Like, you can't claim poverty. Exactly. So it's like
I was gonna say it's the same thing as that when we were talking about that stupid Emma Watson movie, A Wallflower or something. What the hell?
Confessions of a Wallflower.
Yeah, where it's like. Mental health is the white man's poverty, where it's like everybody, they got molested. That's their cross to bear.
Yeah. Well, at least that shows a smidgen of self-awareness. He's not, straight out of the hood.
Yeah.
I mean, just a little bit.
I would like it better. I kind of like Chet Hayes because he doesn't have as much self-awareness, mm-hmm. where he's just like.
I think that's a little more fun.
Yeah. Because he keeps doubling down on the lack of it.
Made myself a name, made myself some friends, and I kind of felt okay because every single day I'd be chilling with a different dame, trying to feel good about.
Like, I don't like this because it's a little better and it's a little too smart. Like, it just comes off really generic. It's not quite as dumb, whereas Chet Hayes is like a full-on cartoon character.
Well, because it almost sounds like he's trying to do more thoughtful stuff. Like, he name-dropped Nas, and it sounds like he's almost trying to be like. I mean, he doesn't come close to this, but trying to be almost Tribe Called Quest-ish, where it's a little bit more cerebral. Well,
they went to Sarah Lawrence, I think.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. After they left their wallet in El Segundo. Trying to be a little bit more cerebral, whereas like Chet Hayes is trying to do straight up like Jay-Z. Yeah.
I mean, he did name drop like the end of his joint in like the first two or three lines.
I think the real question is, who would you rather have as your dad? Right?
Oh.
Daniel Day-Lewis or Tom Hanks? It's a tough one.
I mean, who wouldn't want Tom Hanks as a right.
Tom Hanks seems pretty cool.
Yeah. If you're Daniel Day-Lewis's son, I mean, I'm surprised he doesn't have more mental issues. Your dad is always method. You're like, Dad, can you help with my homework? I've abandoned my child! I've abandoned my child!
Oh,
it's just geometry.
Dad's only cooking food with an axe this week because he's playing. Lincoln.
It's more like for like the next 6 months. He's playing a hunter, and
He actually built his own like 17th century house at one point.
I just wanted him to teach me how to throw a baseball, but he could only use his left foot.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, that'd give you some mental issues.
Yeah.
That's enough of that.
You can't like claim. I love like the shout out, like claiming the school. I mean, like your school fucking plays Quidditch competitively. You can't shout it out in a rap song.
Hey. Not every school that plays Quidditch competitively only produces douchebags.
But it's pretty like 1-to-1 ratio.
Vince is raising a lot of Quidditch awareness.
Yeah, so at Columbia, they let that through.
Yeah, Vince is a Quidditch bro.
Oh man,
no, he takes offense to that. He's a Quidditch player, not a Quidditch bro.
That's right.
Right.
He's raising more.
Yeah,
you gotta be more because he's joining a family.
We're respectful. I'm part of the
dorks.
I'm part of a tradition, like a proud tradition of Quidditch.
Tradition of
Muggles. Oh, it's actually called Muggle Quidditch because we're not wizards.
Hey, Goblin, this is L.A. You don't belong here.
The whole playing Quidditch thing is totally ridiculous, but my favorite is that they just always have a broom in between their legs. That's my favorite part of it, is they just hold a broom.
And every time I write about it, I like ridicule it mercilessly, and there's always like three defenders being like, hey, it's like a really cool sport. What do you... Like, it's just people out there doing something cool.
Hey, dude, why are you judging their fun?
Stupid jockey rugby guy.
So, this week, not only do we have the dating gurus, the guy, the Wolf of Wall Street guy, he, now that he's not selling penny stocks to investors and cheating them out of their money, now he is actually... a sales guru giving sales advice.
Oh no!
Yes,
is this a theme? Are we doing like after school specials by complete morons? Is that what we're doing tonight?
Yeah, a little bit. I did a little more prep work on this show than usual.
This is good stuff. I acknowledge and appreciate your background.
Are we going to get any tips from Rob Ford? Because I'm in love with that.
Oh
guy.
God, he's great.
he looks like the guy in Big Trouble in Little China that blows up and goes like he looks like he's like one step away from exploding.
Oh, so, he's so good.
Kevin Farley said this week he was like, man, if Chris Farley was alive, he would have done like the best Rob Ford.
Oh my God!
Oh, I can just dream on that.
That's like what he was born to do.
Yeah, it really was.
Did you guys see the video of him in whatever, like the Canadian Senate?
Yeah, where
like almost knocked him. Yeah. What was he even running after? Was he just like going?
I think that was his workout for the day.
He's just totally batshit insane.
He's the best thing that's ever happened.
He's an unstoppable menace.
He would be really good for a celebrity death pool right now. Oh. I think he would be like the Adrian Peterson. He would be a pick
he's
up.
Your number one performer week after week.
He's not going to be around for long.
I just love that he keeps doing so many amazing things, and yet he finds a way to top it. Every time.
Oh, did you see the bowling ball with him as the bowling ball and Miley Cyrus riding him?
Yeah. The wrecking
ball. Glorious.
Anyway, we can get to the Wolf of Sales.
Right. So Leonardo DiCaprio made this video, and I don't know if he did this willingly or if this was like a condition of Jordan Belfort selling the option to his book, or maybe it was like a condition of letting Leo like hang out and study him or something. But, well, just listen.
Hello, I'm Leonardo DiCaprio, and some of you may know that I'll be playing Jordan Belfort in the new film, Wolf of Wall Street. What separates Jordan's story from others like it is the brutal honesty in which he talks about the mistakes that he's made in his life. I've been in his company many times, but there is nothing quite like Jordan's public speaking and his ability to train and empower young entrepreneurs. Jordan stands as a shining example of the transformative qualities of ambition and hard work. And in that regard, he is a true motivator.
Yeah. Again.
Wait, do we hear from...
I have a couple of his actual videos.
Does he motivate people to be con men? Like, what does he motivate them to do?
I would posit that anyone who wants to hire Jordan Belfort to train their young entrepreneurs should immediately be facing, like, government sanctions and should just, like... Yes. I mean, that should be out there.
I've only heard him talk
it's like a flagged word on the SEC watch list.
Yeah, it really should be. I mean, if you're like, oh... Let me get the boiler room guy to come here and tell people how to be good salesmen.
Basically what he is.
Yeah. Well, look, if you see a butthole, you fuck it. That's number one rule, kids. You just fuck that butt. And this is what he sounds like in real life.
The first goal in any conversation you must do, you must
get into immediate, and I'm going to use a word, it's a big word, you've all heard before, it's called rapport.
Huge word.
With the straight line, the first thing you're going to learn to do using tonality and certain words, we'll go through them this afternoon, you're going to learn how to get into immediate rapport on both a conscious and an unconscious level. Conscious, oh yeah, wow, it makes sense to them. And unconscious, they're like, I just kind of like that guy. I can't tell you exactly why, but he sounds like a winner. You need to get into instant rapport, immediate rapport on both a conscious and unconscious level so you can then open them up to being essentially what's called qualified.
He's drawing on a whiteboard to illustrate all this. He drew one line to illustrate rapport, and then another line going downwards towards the word qualifying.
I mean, have you guys ever met someone that's done one of these things and is actively employing the techniques discussed?
I bet Brendan has.
I've been to see
those like guys speaking my language.
Sloths that learned how to wear a necktie. They're weird half men.
Yeah, they are.
So the interesting thing about all this stuff is it's hard to explain all this stuff without sounding really cheesy and gross, but like, you know, sales kind of makes the world go around. The problem is there's a highly human element to it, and you have to be a real person. Otherwise, you can't be good at it. But you can't just like say like, here's what you do. And that's why some people are good salespeople and some people aren't, because if it was just about like following the steps, everybody would do it. You know what I mean? So
people skills.
Yeah.
Step two, be likable.
It's not that different from, for example, how weird the whole pickup artist thing is, because it's like, next step, kind of escalate. You know, like the weird shit like that, where it's like all stuff that most normal people kind of innately know, where it's like, don't be weird and desperate.
They're quantifying intuitive social interactions.
Exactly.
Like the things that are intuitive for someone who's not a weirdo.
Right. And that you're so evolutionarily trained to sense that moment of hesitation before they ease into humanness, where you're like, that's either sick or a predator, and I don't want to have anything to do with whatever's going on in that human shape.
Right. It's just the uncanny valley of human interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, that's exactly what it is.
Could you guys send me to one of these? Can I train up on this and then try and do it? Because I can't imagine how terrifying that would be if I were trying to like.
It's got to be for like Cutco knives or something like that cheesy, right? Yeah. Who's going to this?
That would be a better show than The Pickup Artist. It would just be Brett. Brett employs the techniques of
sales with me telling him how to do it.
It's just me desperately trying to connect with another human through some sort of book learning.
Yeah, that would be. I'd watch that. Hello, sir. My name is Brett. What are you doing?
Would you like to buy a necklace of bones?
What if I told you? I had a necklace of bones in my backpack.
A fellow like you seems like he could use some bones.
Oh, God, please buy it.
Did I say that out loud? I mean, you would like to buy it.
Why don't you just tell me the time you'd like to see the movie?
And then there's an awkward touch at the end, just like right on the cheek.
You try to reach for his pat him on the shoulder and he brushes his cheek accidentally.
Well, Vince said he watched Seduce and Abandon. Did you guys? James Toback, he's the producer. So we talked about it a little bit. It's an HBO documentary with James Toback and Alec Baldwin going to Cannes to try to sell a terrible movie. It sounds terrible. Anyway, James Toback does this super awkward touch of the arm all the time, like grabs the person's arm. But did you notice when he did that?
I had to turn it off. I was just really bored.
I feel like that's one of those weird – once again, that's probably something you read in a book. I bet he read that in like Dale Carnegie, you know, How to Be Successful. Something from like 19 – something from like 1912. Like literally like a robber baron said, here's how you do it.
Compliment their bowler hat.
Yeah, like here's how I put a monopoly on the national train system.
Sir, that is a nice pocket watch.
Offer to take a daguerreotype with them.
Say, sport.
Yeah. That's so weird. Like, no normal person would do that. It would never work. But I guarantee he clearly has very few social skills, James mm-hmm. Toback. So he just read somewhere in a book, like, if you have physical contact with him, it will, like...
And it's so, he does it all the time, and it's really awkward and creepy because he fully grabs their arm.
Makes my skin crawl just thinking about it.
Well, and he's...
I have audibly snarled at another human being for invading my personal space to that level, where they're just, they do the arm touch. Like, they were like, hey, we're buddies. And I could not hold it in.
The
Scientologists used to come door to door in Hollywood, and they would drop off pamphlets. And then there was times when they would start in the doorway, and you're talking... And then all of a sudden, they're in your living room, and you didn't realize how much ground they covered just in conversation. But it's scary as hell.
How are you further into my place than me? Yeah. How'd you get in here? Why are you sitting on my lap?
I had a mini freak out because I went to, like, after I lost my iPhone, I went to the Verizon
store.
They
dumped teeth your iPhone?
Yeah, they dumped down teeth my iPhone. The dopey. So I went to the Verizon store. And I'm looking at the phone there, and I see what I want, and I know it's going to cost me like $300 or whatever. And you have to take a number and then wait for the salesperson to call you up. And so the guy's like, he comes up and he introduces himself to me, where he's like, "Hi, I'm like Michael, blah blah blah," and we like shake hands. Like, what are you looking for?
I can tell we're going to be best friends.
And I'm like,
I can't wait to hang out.
I'm like, I want the 32 gig white one right there. That's the one I want. And he's like, "Oh, cool. So let's just so what kind of work you do?" And he just kept he kept asking questions. And the first two sentences, I just told him exactly what I wanted. That's all I want. I want to get out of here. I've already been here 20 minutes. It's 20 more minutes than I planned to be in the Verizon store. And then I forget what all the lead up to it. But when he got to what kind of work you do, I actually just like sort of went, "Dude, can I just get the fucking phone?" Like, I couldn't do it anymore.
He's obviously a shitty salesperson, because if you're a salesperson, then you should know, okay, I have – I'm assuming he's on commission, right? So he's like, okay, so I have a commission in my back pocket. Mm-hmm. So if I do want to make a better commission, I'll say something like, "Hey, do you have a lot of photos or music on your phone right now? Because – for upgrading to 64 gig, you're only paying, you know, $100 more or whatever." Right. And you really won't have to worry about ever running out of space or something like that. Like, boom. He doesn't have to worry about any of that stupid bullshit, like rapport building.
Yeah.
No salesperson wants to be like, "So, you have kids?" You know, like, yeah, some stupid shit like that.
I think there's been a breakdown in the way they've trained those people. And that's, you see it even at Starbucks, where they forget that the first goal of customer service is not actually to build personal relationships. It's just like to do it well. But they sort of skip over the doing the customer service well part and go straight to try to be the guy's buddy. God. And it's
some customers reinforce that, and when I see that happen, I want to like yell at the customer, because I'm like, "You're making this much worse for the rest of us."
Yeah. When you
get pissy that a server is rude to you or didn't, you know, lick your balls after they brought you your soup, you should respect the efficiency of service on a much higher level than you should ever, you know, respect the weird camaraderie that comes from having to pay another person to cook your food.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't want you to treat me like a person, because that involves me knowing you as a person.
This is a transaction.
Yeah, this is a transaction. This
I would
not
have family do yeah. before.
I got friends.
Social
man.
Interaction. Yeah, I got enough friends. So you know how a few episodes ago we were talking about the annoying AT&T customer service or whatever.
That's
customer
Comcast.
Service.
Well, that's the thing about Comcast, right? Because Vince called. And they said, "We know," like, this was a real person. They said, "We know how important the internet is to you."
Yeah. Please skip to the part where we solve
they
the
have
problem.
No, they have no idea, though, in reality, it's how more, important the internet is to
how
Vince.
Correct well, they were. Yeah. Well,
the internet's my dad.
So I moved last week, and I couldn't figure out how to set up internet in my new place. The guy who lived in my house before me was like this crazy mad scientist. And he's like an electrical engineer. So there's crazy switches everywhere. There's a centralized internet. And I had no idea what to plug my router into. So I call AT&T. And first of all, their solution was turn on the router, then turn it off, then turn it back on again. And did that work?
I like that. That's always the default. Right. Have you tried turning off your router?
And I said, no. And they're like, okay, I'm going to send a technician out. And so then, like, finally I dig through all the wires and I find like a cord that's plugged into the wall, like a phone jack type cord. I plug it in, and sure enough, like, I get signal, and I'm like, cool. So all my shit is boxed up at this point. My charger is boxed up. I have like 5% on my phone. After I get off the phone, I have like 2%. And I call AT&T right back to be like, hey, you don't need to send someone out. And the guy's like, what can I help you with? And I'm like, hi, I just spoke to someone about my internet working, not working. Oh, I'm sorry that that is the case. I know how frustrating it is to not have the internet work. If you can tell me a little bit more about what your problem is, perhaps I can find a solution that will be suitable for you. And it's just like the whole scripted thing. And I'm like, finally, like, he's in the middle of his thing. And I'm like, hey, my phone is about to die. You are going to send someone tomorrow. I do not need them to come to my house. Can you cancel that? And he's like, I cannot cancel your internet. I'm like, no, don't cancel the fucking internet. Like, don't send someone to my house. I understand your frustration. And I'm like, look, if you keep talking, my phone's going to die. And I just want you to tell me that no one's going to come to my house tomorrow. And then finally, he's like, okay, I did that. Is there anything else? And I'm like, no. And I hung up.
Oh, it's like you're fighting against destiny, like your own inevitable death.
Yeah.
I don't want to get hit by the bus.
I am sorry that you feel that way, sir. Is there anything? Is there a different color of bus that you would like?
It's so funny though. It's like, hey, let's just tell people what to say, and then that'll be fine. We don't need like actual people who can interact with other people. They can just read from a script. Yeah.
A script that any actor would take and be like, all right, I'm going to cut this line. I'm going to cut this line.
I really wish I could have seen Vince freak out and be like, dude, could you just get the fucking phone?
Because I was like, you know how you just let stuff build?
You already had to take a number. You already knew what you wanted.
Right.
You've hung out there way longer than you wanted to in the first place. You've wandered around the store for 20 minutes looking at every phone, even though you don't want them all. Mm-hmm. And the dude comes over and is like, dude, what'd you have for lunch, bro?
Yeah. Well, and then I've sort of humored him through all the, like, what do you usually use your phone for? And I'm like, I use it for like the internet and making phone calls and stuff.
I love this because your snaps are so abrupt and disturbingly physical that they're just like, you don't know that you've already pushed you that far, and then suddenly you've got like Vince biting off half of your finger.
Yeah, because I do a good job of sort of masking my uncomfortability for the most part, where I'm like. Like, I can do the humoring thing, but then, like, in my mind, I'm thinking it's, like, gradual steps, but all the other person sees is the part where it's just, like...
Full snap?
Yeah, full snap.
You also, to be fair, aren't out in public very often.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
Well, you go to the coffee shop, but that's headphones in. You're not really out with humans.
All right, you guys, it's time for...
Email time?
Listener word bucket.
Wow, we got the soundboard. Wow. Is that because you have the new computer? You're feeling all fancy free?
We need to add the air horn to the
Wakas, if you're listening to this, could you please add the air horn to the fretboard?
Is that a clap for you saying that?
For him for making the soundboard.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so we got a few emails this week, a few good ones. This next one, it's a story about this guy's grandma. It's going to include a few N-words. I feel like I have to say the whole word just to really be true to the person speaking. Greetings, Frock Crew. I've been trying to write up the story for a couple weeks now. Hopefully you get to see this before tonight's Frockcast. During a happy 94th birthday grandma call a few weeks ago, my girlfriend's grandmother reminisced about growing up with her sisters way back in the day. Here is her story. Quote, well, Sarah, I'll just tell you I'm the only one of my siblings left. Even my beautiful younger sister, Allison, passed away from Alzheimer's. You know your great-aunt Allison was a girl who was so beautiful she could just roll out of bed in the morning and be ready to go straight out the door. I had to spend so much time getting ready and doing makeup to go out. Well, she would always get tired of waiting for me to get ready, and one morning she said she wasn't going to wait, and she just headed off to walk to school without me. I was so mad that I prayed to God that a big old nigger would come along and snatch her up and take her away. Well, I finished getting ready for school, and I started on my way, and in a bit, I saw a car pull over next to my sister on the side of the road. And I'll tell you, a big old nigger popped out of the car, and I thought, oh, Lord, you've answered my prayers, and there's a nigger here to come take my sister away. And so I ran up as fast as I could trying to save her. Only it was Mr. Jones, who was a teacher from a school the next county over. He just had a flat tire and had pulled over to fix it. As a birthday tangent, I thought it was pretty dope in the context of a surprise racist grandma rant. Fraud on you, crazy diamonds.
I have a favorite email from this week.
Okay,
this one's from Paul. Subject line, workaholics. Hi, Vince. Can you talk about why your relationship failed with your last girlfriend?
I mean, do you really want to hear? It's not a very interesting story.
Sure.
I just love the Trojan horsing.
Like we weren't going to read the email. Like, yeah. Oh, this is Workaholics. Oh, dang it. Now I got to tell you about my ex-girlfriend.
I got Connor with it.
Yeah.
Wait. On the weirdly, I assume that was related to the last week's where the person was crying because their grandma owned slaves. Was that what prompted that?
I don't know. He said a few weeks.
Otherwise, that's a weird email to just.
I mean, I would write that email if that happened with my girlfriend's grandma.
Yeah. I was watching the PBS African Americans 3-part documentary that they got going on, which is like really well produced. But holy shit, watching some of that old footage, living in a time of mostly passive idiot racism, like Grandma's Boy or whatever
calling
the fuck his name is.
Boy, yeah.
Yeah. You forget how vitriolically evil like 80% of the South was back in the day, where you've got like mothers holding babies, like visually spitting with bile at other human beings. And it's just like, oh right, this was fucking terrifying.
Yeah. Didn't seem like a fun time to be alive in that.
No, it just seemed pretty horrible all around.
Nope. Was I supposed to answer that question?
If you want.
Up to you.
Sure. That's not a very interesting story. It sort of just seemed like she had put off making a decision about what she wanted to do with her life to come live with me in San Francisco. And so the consequence of that was that it seemed like she had sort of put all her eggs in this relationship basket. So that made it everything. A lot of her focus was on that, and it sort of put a lot of pressure on all of our interactions. So if anything, you know, if I was dismissive or if I was bored by anything she was saying, that suddenly became like a huge deal, and that led to like a lot of arguing and
Vince being dismissive and bored.
Yeah, no. Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, that's not really something that's specific to you, I'm afraid. She was very long-winded, and I couldn't like when we'd be arguing, she would have complaints, and I couldn't figure out what she was complaining about because like there'd be like it'd be like a 10-part complaint of things that were wrong, and I'm like, I don't know which part of this to address because there's a lot of parts to it.
Well, and you also didn't want to address any of them, really.
Hey, I know a dating doctor that both of you guys can go to.
Yeah, well, it'd be like 9 parts I would have like a rational response to, but then in like part 5. Five sub note C. She would insert something that was just like a big fuck you to me, that like sort of just to piss me off. And so it was like, all right, I had like nine super rational, productive responses of things that I, you know, maybe I could have done differently and whatnot. But then in that one where you just pissed me off and I had to address that one, that's just going to make this fight last, you know, way longer. So it was a lot of those arguments. In fact, one time we were having like one of our worst arguments on the street in San Francisco. We were just like actually screaming in each other's faces. Some guy walked by and was like, "Hey, film drunk!" And we both had to stop and be like, "Oh, hey, yeah." Anyway, fuck you! You never respect me. Yeah.
I do like that she dropped in. It was like the poison pill. Fuck you into the 10-part argument because
always.
As if she didn't know that this hate machine right here is powered by spite.
That's true. That's so true. Actually, I think almost every time that I've been recognized on the street has been while I've been having like some sort of argument or some sort of relationship, very relationship heavy thing on the street. Almost every time.
I still think it's weird that people even. I mean, it's cool, but. It's not like there's a million photos of you all over the place.
Hey,
they're big fans.
What can I say? What can I say, man?
Yeah, but those comedians are getting pretty good at the flyers. I mean, everyone knows Photoshop now.
That's true.
Faces are all up all the time.
That's true.
Long story short, we argued a lot, and I got tired of arguing. And
that's kind of why
most relationships end, I think.
Didn't get live tweeted like that one that just happened in New York.
Excellent. I didn't read it, but I did hear about it.
Are we still going to get pizza? That's all I want to know.
Yeah. Are we going to do this with this creepy guy over there?
He's just typing into his phone. He's not even listening.
Was that one of them? Was that one of the things that they supposedly said? That's pretty good.
All right.
There are some questions out there.
There was some really good. We'll have to post a link to it because it was really good, and you have to read the whole thing. But there was some really good sort of logical gymnastics by the guy where it's like, she's like, do you see yourself living with me within the next year? He's like, well, I mean, what is even living together?
That's always so good when you
define living together. Yeah.
When you answer a question with a very vague question,
I guess that depends on what your definition of the word is the old Bill Clinton special,
right? Well, what does that even mean?
Dear Frogcast Bros, listening to Ben's story about his time at the sperm clinic really got me in a funny place. My wife and I are trying to have kids and haven't had any luck. So option number one is for me to beat off at a doctor's office to make sure that everything is okay. Like Ben said, even here in Idaho, every person at the urologist's office was a woman. They sent me to the wank chamber, and when I was finished, I put my sample on the table, and not a single one even offered a hug or on the way out. The doctor runs a semen sample and tells me there are some concerns, as apparently my sperm morphology is fucked up. It turns out I'm firing retard sperm, and as such, they get lost on the way to the egg, or their overly large heads don't allow them to fertilize the egg, which would lead us to having baby struggles. Anyway, this led me to two serious questions. We all know that there are numerous racial poop... this one's kind of dumb. And is there any...
Just read it. Right. It makes no sense.
We all know that there are numerous racial poop jokes. Could we refer to ejaculating as busting a Seinfeld?
I don't get that.
I don't really get it either.
I don't get numerous racial poop jokes, and I also don't get busting a Seinfeld.
Yeah. And is there any band name that is named after a place that doesn't suck? Chicago, Boston, Kansas, America, Europe, Asia, etc. I think you just named one that's called Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Kansas definitely does suck, moment. Though.
Yeah.
Every time I used to listen to classic rock every time, and every time they would play like Carry On My Wayward Son, it would just like... God damn, you have so many good songs to choose from, and you choose this one.
What about Nirvana? That's a place.
It's a state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Did you guys have a favorite? Any
no,
favorites?
There's the. I'd have to look. There's a couple. I thought you flagged a couple.
Right. Okay. This one is from Natalie. I have a brief story I needed to share with you all. One of the female doctors I work with is freshly pregnant, and obviously the correct thing to do is to gush over her ability to conceive. I'm talking to her and ask her about whether it's a boy or girl, and she rewards my question with a lecture about gender roles in our society. Are you fucking kidding me? Quote, our society places too much pressure on gender roles, and I refuse to put that pressure on my fetus. Okay, I was more asking if you were going to paint the bedroom pink or blue, but I guess you can go fuck yourself. From my own experience, I have to say that men add on at least 1 to 2 inches in their online dating profiles. It would be irrelevant except I'm 5'11", and rounding up to 6 feet is quite awkward when you're only 5'10", and I'm taller than you when we meet. They should make an online dating site for tall people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then this was, I think this is the same girl that sent us Brett's soulmate. And,
yes.
Brett, I'm sure your wife is lovely, but your second soulmate continues to decapitate animals and play with their bodies / bones. Check out her profile picture. She made the face of a raccoon she picked up off the street into a necklace.
So good.
Is there a photo that I tried to look?
I just saw one.
I can't see the raccoon. Okay, it's on her hand.
I thought it was a bird in her hand.
Yeah, I can't tell. Is that like a raccoon's face?
No, that's a cardinal's head.
Yeah, I thought it was a bird.
Is it?
Well, he took a screen grab, and then I think he wants us to click on the link in the screen grab that is...
She, but
that's
yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah. She's got earplugs, too. Brett likes those.
Yeah. This is one that I liked. This is... the subject is a new broadcast segment. After hearing Vince talk about his Little League coach, and by extension, all men who work with children, and Vince basically said anyone who's a teacher.
That's not what I said.
Okay, well, hold on, let me finish then. I hereby nominate Sweeping Generalizations with Vince Mancini as a new segment for the Frot.
as someone who has worked with children myself and probably will do that in at some point in the future, I wasn't saying that all. I was saying that all I was
is this
saying
going to be a really creepy admission.
No. All I was saying is that if we disqualified everybody that had weird, urges that they didn't act on, we would have less people to coach little league teams. That's all I'm saying.
Wow, you are like a master of digging the area that's going to become a grave, and then just getting a new shovel.
Okay,
I do like that though. It's just whatever sweeping generalizations you have on your mind.
Okay, well I got lots of those. Just give me, feed me rye. Okay. Ask me questions.
A couple topics.
Let me tell you about the Dutch.
You've had a few sweeping generalizations.
Bunch of clodhoppers. Hey, Frotnadians, question for you all. I have a coworker who has chain-smoked for most of the last year. There's been a rumor for a while now that she's pregnant, but I didn't really believe it because she kept smoking cigarettes and drinking coffee like usual. Last week, she confirmed to me and a few others that she is, in fact, preggers. What would you do in this situation? Do we shun her and feel sorry for her? Do we stage an intervention? Do we just go on with business as usual? It's not exactly any of our business, and it's her right to continue smoking, but it just doesn't sit right. I'd be interested in any thoughts that you have. Fraud on Dave.
Connor?
That kid's fucked regardless.
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I'll be honest. If it was a coworker of mine, I would pretend like I would not confront it. I would just sort of pretend like I didn't know what was happening.
Because there's very little you can affect in that situation. If she's that deep in the hole, your little bit of input's going to be a bullshit drop in a barrel of nicotine.
A barrel of cigarettes.
Maybe they don't know?
No, he said they do.
What are the effects of smoking?
I'm not.
You get you get lobster.
Lobster claws.
Lobster baby.
Is that true, Brett?
No, not at all.
So I'm guessing this woman doesn't have a husband who's dealing with this, right?
Maybe he works for RJ Reynolds. That's a tough situation, especially with a coworker. It'd be a lot different if it was an actual friend. I just think work relationships are a little harder to get.
Anonymous email, perhaps? I don't know.
Maybe an e-cigarette thing with like the white elephant.
Maybe a gift?
Yeah,
maybe a
Secret Santa.
Isn't that just as bad? Aren't you still like sucking down a lot of nicotine in there? Is it the nicotine that's the problem? Is it the actual smoke that's a problem? Or
I'm not sure.
I don't know. I would hope that the e-cigarette, I mean, according to Stephen Dorff, at least
I'm Stephen Dorff.
I'm Stephen Dorff. I've been smoking since I'm 12 years old. Since I was 12 years old.
And my mom used to reward me on acting jobs with cigarettes.
Look, we're all adults here.
We're all adults here. Quit being gay about me trying to smoke cigarettes. Seriously. What's your problem? Hey, college boy, I'm going to smoke right here.
Yeah, but seriously, that would be hard with the coworker.
Apparently the nicotine is bad, but the oxygen deprivation is worse, and that pretty much means you're not going to have a fully developed kid when it pops out, is according to WebMD.
Mm. Then what about just Skoll or something? Yeah. Chewing tobacco?
Maybe you get her a gift bag.
There's some bandits.
A gift bag of like some Red Man.
Yeah, snooze, Red Man.
Look, we're just saying Coke. There's other options.
Yeah.
And like a carton of nicotine gum. Look, you know, let's get your nicotine from other ways. Patches, you know? That's a hard one to... But yeah, maybe you just anonymously put a pack of nicotine gum on her desk.
I mean, maybe you sent... I don't know. It's tough. I feel like an anonymous email about...
Really?
What? I don't know. What do you do? I have no idea.
So your smoking's bad for your baby.
But even if you save the kid's developmental process, like... I mean, it still
he's
has to grow
up with a mom.
She didn't care enough to not smoke.
And that kid's going to be smoking by 4.
I say you just chloroform her and then just sock her in the belly about 10 times. And then she loses the baby. Then you don't have to worry about it.
Problem solved.
Okay, yeah. You mean, get out of any major city. This is happening pretty regularly.
The smoking with the babies? Probably some drinking, too, I would guess.
Yeah,
that baby would be fine.
I guess there's a lot of women that...
It's all just propaganda on WebMD.
That damn liberal medical site.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
A bunch of rumors.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess there's a lot of women that have a tough time going 9 months without drinking.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Apparently, you can drink a glass of wine when you're pregnant. A
couple of days.
It's okay to drink one glass of wine.
Well, and if in three if you're French.
Yes.
Okay. Next question. Dear Frogcast, at a party, my friend was approached by a guy while he was peeing outside. My friend was drunk, but he says the guy said something to the effect of, "Have you ever had your dick sucked by another guy?" I'm not sure what was
Willem
said.
Defoe. Willem Dafoe.
Willem, I loved you in Antichrist. Brendan.
I'll suck your dick.
It's Brendan's Willem Dafoe. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Thank you. Can I get a RoboCop? That's my favorite.
What was that? I don't even remember what I said. I think I was drunk.
Stop.
Drop or I'll suck your dick.
I'm not sure what was said after
that. Wasn't
that.
Even a good impersonation.
It worked.
You've done
it. Kind of like Buffalo Bill. This is very like Buffalo Bill-esque RoboCop.
I need to work on my RoboCop. I haven't done that in a while.
Do you do those in the mirror?
Yep. In my big-ass bathroom.
I'm not sure what was said after that, other than the guy being really persistent. But my friend freaked out and told the guy he'd meet him inside just to get him to leave him alone. He then ran up to my other friend who drove.
That's what?
That's the best part.
Yeah.
My friend said yes because he totally didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
He said totally, I'll see you inside, because he didn't know what else to say.
He then ran up to my other friend who drove, apparently yelling incoherently about needing to leave right that second. They left, and as my friend went to check Facebook while in the car, he had a friend request from this guy who he'd never met or heard of before. How would you guys handle this? This guy has been messaging my friend consistently, trying to hook up, despite my friend telling him every night that he's straight.
It doesn't matter. He's magically turned you gay already with his magical gay powers. Like, you're already gay. You're just going to have to live your life that way from now on.
I think he's in denial.
Look, you let him suck your dick, and, you know, if you get hard, you're just going to have to be gay for the rest of your life. Sorry. That's how it works.
Mm-hmm. It's a rule.
It's a rule.
And as we've seen from the Japanese, gay guys are good at sucking dick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Why is everyone? I don't know. This is a,
I love that he freaked out and said he'd meet him inside so he could blow him.
Yeah.
When all he really wanted to say was no, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know why he freaked out. You say, like, no, man.
Yeah, you feel good about yourself that you're good looking enough to attract a man that persists persistently.
And situations like that always make me think of Boogie Nights. With
an idiot. Yeah. I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot.
That's good. You've been practicing that one.
I have been practicing.
See, I do. I prefer Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Been getting a lot of practice in dark parking lots of that.
I prefer Philip Seymour Hoffman in Happiness. Mm-hmm. No, but what are you wearing under? Are you wet? Is your pussy all wet? What are you wearing under?
Is that Todd Solondz?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. Dad, I came. It's like the weirdest movie ever.
And then the dog looks it up. Yeah. Oh, God. He doesn't even say dad. He just goes, he walks in and he goes, I came. And then the movie ends.
Yeah. I think that's more or less it for questions. Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it for questions.
Those are some good ones.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Connor, anything to plug?
Yeah, where would people buy the first book?
It's on Amazon now, but I'm actually going to New York tomorrow to meet with some literary agents and try and get this thing into stores. I'm kind of – independent publishing is fun, but you really, really have to be good at marketing. So I'm going to go sell this thing.
And is it online?
Yes, the elaborate shit like treasure hunts and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It's digital only right now.
It's on Kindle and print on demand through Amazon. And I have mixed reviews about Amazon. So if ultimately I want to sell this as a TV show or a studio film, so I got to go through the traditional routes now.
Print on demand means Amazon prints a single copy at a time if someone buys it?
Yes.
That's crazy.
They gouge you through the roof to print it. Of course, Amazon's a genius because they just make money off of people who want to write books. And that's a better business model.
Print on demand, the whole concept is like blows my mind, though.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they have warehouses and stuff. You can actually pay to print a bunch and then get your royalty rate lower. But
then you might be sitting on a pile of books.
Yeah. It's expensive. Mm. So you can't sell scripts anymore. And you got to sell books, but you can't independently publish books. So
you got to sell a graphic novel that somebody wants to make a script out of.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly.
You have to go back in time and make a board game in 1937.
Yeah. I love the retroactive, just like thinking people are, oh, we need the name value, name recognition value of this thing that no one's thought about since the 40s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Lone Ranger.
Yeah, or Tarzan. Like, Tarzan's going to be a movie.
Really? Battleship. Yeah.
Battleship was.
Yeah.
So despite the fact that, like, Tarzan was sort of like the. Written by the guy who was really into eugenics. And
I love reading about authors
that all,
like from
that all
back
started
then,
here
like,
in California, and then the Nazis came over, studied it, and took it home.
Yeah, yeah. There was, well, Lindbergh was yeah. into it. There was a yeah. French guy that was here. I forget his name. He was a French doctor, and Lindbergh got really into his. I just read this book, book recommendation for all you people out there. It's called The One Summer. I forgot how good a writer that Bill Bryson is, but it's just about one summer in 1927. So he'll just like, there's all these things that happened in the summer of 1927 that he'll sort of like follow. Like there's the flight of Lindbergh, and then that was the summer that Babe Ruth hit the 60 home runs. Babe Ruth seems fucking awesome, by the way.
Just a hard charger.
Yeah, just partying, eating steaks,
chasing
and burning
pussy.
Eaters.
Yeah.
It did bug me where in the book he's talking about like, oh, and then Barry Bonds broke his record, you know, but on steroids, even though Babe Ruth was on nothing but hot dogs. And it's like, well, yeah, but he also wasn't playing A, against pitchers who were on steroids, and B, against black pitchers.
Yeah, they were throwing 45 miles an hour sidearm.
Yeah.
It's like softball.
Yeah, it's not...
throwing a screwball.
Yeah. But yeah, Lindbergh was... that was his fall from grace. Was he like really was good friends with this eugenics
guy. Yeah, he ended up really getting branded as a Nazi sympathizer later, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, they like took his name off of... There was all these... You know, there was like Lindbergh everything, and they took his name off of a whole bunch of stuff.
Still Lindbergh Field in San Diego.
Yeah. Well,
that's just racist.
Mm-hmm. Might as well be.
They don't let Jews play there, though.
Might as well be in Santee.
Anywho.
All right. Well.
Well, Connor, is there anywhere you want people to find? I mean, we can post the link to the Amazon book. Anywhere else you want people to find?
You know what?
Stuff?
I do all of my promotion through Facebook, so I'd rather have people just friend me on Facebook and come into my weird world. And
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I can promote it all through there.
Oh,
all the links
yeah.
are there.
Yeah. That's yeah. within your weird world.
Yes. But, yeah, I got plenty more stuff. I'm starting a graphic novel and going down to pitch some new shows. And
moving out. Where in L.A. do you go? Are you going to live in Hollywood town?
I'm doing the beaches. I'm doing Playa del Rey.
Oh, nice.
Nice little sleepy part of L.A.
That's what I lived on the west side for a little while, so I never lived in the Hollywood part.
Yeah, I'd done it all. Hollywood,
no Silver Lake.
I did Silver Lake already. That was a few years ago. So, yeah, doing the west side now.
Yeah. It's a lot nicer out there.
Absolutely.
Things, no pilot.
Things. The guy who created the show was great. Yeah, so Vince is bringing up a board game that you can actually buy. It's one of the best board games ever. But we shot a pilot, and... it was kind of the creator of the board game and I were just on different pages in terms of how graphic the content should be. I always viewed it as a late night comedy show that comedians can come on, kind of like At Midnight, where it prompt
right.
a lot
yeah,
of comedians.
Same, yeah,
same kind of premise. But it just we couldn't work it out. So onwards and upwards. I guess still got to think of a new game show. If anyone has ideas,
we'll spitball.
Yeah.
Whiteboard that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of Chopped, but with like comedy, where it's like, all right, you've got dildos, Nebraska, and
Puerto Ricans,
go. And you're like, whoa. Like, you basically like a funny bot bit.
Right.
I like wouldn't that. Fuck James
and you got like
Franco
Ralphie
with...
May. Yeah, Ralphie May is like, I don't know, dude, you didn't include the dildo.
They are doing a thing down in it was like in Colombia or somewhere in South America where you basically get three prompts and then you're live writing against someone.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this? And you wear like masks and stuff and your short story gets viewed. But something like that with pitching bad ideas where you're with a team could be really fun. I mean, because that's my favorite thing to do is come up with bad movie ideas that no one ever will produce.
Will make.
So something in that realm we need to come up with. And then go pitch that.
Yeah.
I see. I had an idea for Officer Downs, and then there was an actual movie called Detective Downs. And I'm like,
that exploded your whole world.
Yeah. Well, see, my idea was that it was going to be like an interracial buddy cop comedy where it was like a guy with cerebral palsy and then his partner has Down syndrome and one of them is like the brains and the other one's the brawn. And, you know, it's like a Lethal Weapon, like the black guy and the white guy.
My buddy's just pitched an animated show called Horse Cops, where there are Boston horse cops, like the centaur, so they're half human. Like, imagine Mark Wahlberg as a fourth generation horse cop.
Yeah, pretty good. That always makes you think,
you don't want to run from me? You see these legs? Are you serious?
He's just like pawing the ground like a bull. Fuck you.
Well, you could try to pretend like you didn't hear me clapping over here.
All right, you're hired for the staff writing, Joe. Yes.
And not you.
Right.
Not you.
Soundboard.
And not you.
I couldn't find Fuck You. Oh, there it is.
Fuck you. Quiz.
All right.
It never gets
All right,
old.
You got it? Get that in your fucking head.
He blinded the guy.
He did. All right, well, Brendan.
All right, well, Connor Pritchard, thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
All right, and thanks for all the emails, as always. Frogcast@gmail.com. Vince, what's the Google Voice number?
Yeah, any questions, any stories, anything you got, send it on in. I have access to the Google Voice number. I didn't for a while. That's why we didn't play it for a while, but it's back again. 415-275-0030.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, as always. And until next week, good night and good chins.
Bye, Brett.